Hello, this is Mrs. Thomas. I teach English in 7th grade over at the Big House. I'm going to read you Chapter 6 from Pi by Sarah Weeks. Anybody home? Alice called as she and Charlie walked in the door. There was no answer. Charlie tipped his head back and sniffed. What is that? He asked. Smells like something burning. It didn't take long to find the source of the unpleasant odor. Good gravy, said Charlie. Sitting on the kitchen counter was the ugliest pie Alice had ever seen in her life. The whole thing was lopsided, the edges of the crust burned to a crisp, and in the middle was a pool of pale brown liquid with several lumps of what appeared to be butter floating in it like pale yellow icebergs. What is that supposed to be? Charlie asked. I think it's chocolate cream pie, said Alice. It doesn't look like any chocolate cream pie I ever saw. That's because my mom's never made a pie before, Alice explained. She's decided she's going to try to win the Blueberry Award this year. You better tell her to get in line, said Charlie. Well, what do you mean? I deliver groceries to practically every house in town, and I can tell you that ever since your auntie passed, there's been an awful lot of pie baking going on around here. Charlie wasn't exaggerating. At that very moment, there were 47 pies baking in various ovens around Ipswich. Do you ever think they're all trying to win the blueberry? Asked Alice. Maybe. I heard Mrs. Ogden say something about it, and Pete Gillespie, too. Pete Gillespie from the gas station? Charlie nodded. He had me deliver a 10-pound bag of yams and a gallon of corn syrup yesterday. If his sweet potato pie brings home the blueberry, he says he's going to move to Florida so he can go fishing all day and never have to fix another flat tire for as long as he lives. Alice wondered if her mother was aware that she wasn't the only one in town who come down with a bad case of blueberry fever. Besides Mrs. Ogden and Peter Gillespie, who else do you know who's planning to enter a pie in the contest? My mom was planning to take a shot at it, said Charlie. But she changed her mind. Yesterday she tried to make a gooseberry pie, and it came out so bad even the dog wouldn't touch it. And he drinks out of the John. Maybe this year it won't be someone from Ipswich who wins, said Alice. People from all over the country send in their pies. Judging from what I've seen so far, the only one in this town who's got a chance of winning is Lardo. Lardo? I'm just kidding, said Charlie. You know, because your auntie left him the pie crust recipe. Why did she do that anyway? Well, that's what everyone keeps asking. But it's a mystery, Alice told him. The mystery of the secret pie crust recipe sounds like a Nancy Drew book, doesn't it? How would I know? Those are for girls, Charlie scoffed. What about the Hardy Boys? You must have read one of those. Charlie blushed and looked down at his feet. To be honest, he said, I'm kind of bad at reading. Spelling, too. I get things all mixed up. Alice looked at the pie sitting on the counter. The Blueberry Committee would be making the announcement in only a few short weeks. Her mother had her heart set on winning, but unless some kind of a miracle occurred, there was no way that was ever going to happen. You ready to eat? Asked Charlie. Always, he answered. Alice got out the peanut butter and jelly, and she and Charlie made sandwiches for themselves. As they ate their lunches, sitting across from each other at the kitchen table, Alice found herself thinking about how much she was going to miss having lunch with Aunt Polly at the pie shop. At 12 o'clock on the dot, Polly would turn off the oven and hang the "Please come back later" sign on the door. Upstairs, they'd eat cream cheese and olive sandwiches, and afterward, Polly would cut them each a big slice of pie. Alice wasn't allowed to have dessert after lunch at home, but Aunt Polly had her own rules, one of which was that a little pie never hurt anybody. Your auntie sure was a nice lady, said Charlie. You must really miss her. It was almost as if he could tell that what Alice was thinking. It's going to get even worse when August comes, she told Charlie. How come? Peaches, Alice said, biting her lip. Oh, right, said Charlie. Your favorite pie. Alice nodded and wondered if there would ever come in a time when she wouldn't miss her Aunt Polly. So much it hurt. When they had finished eating, Alice asked Charlie if he wanted something for dessert. Just because she wasn't allowed to have any didn't mean he couldn't. Charlie glanced nervously at the chocolate cream pie on the counter. Don't worry, Alice told him, opening the cupboard and taking out a bag of chipperoons. We've got cookies, too. Reach for Nabisco, Charlie started to sing. Reach for Nabisco. Nabisco was one of the commercial sponsors on Sky King. Alice knew the jingle by heart, too, so she sang the rest of it along with him. The bright red seal on the package and means mighty good cookies inside, my friend. Charlie grinned at her and pulled a cookie out of the bag. Did you ever notice that package end and my friend is a perfect rhyme? Alice asked. Nope, said Charlie, but I've noticed that chipperoons taste good. He shoved the whole cookie in his mouth and reached for another. After they had finished cleaning up from lunch, Alice led Charlie upstairs. I thought of something funny, Charlie said. Instead of visiting the scene of the crime, we're about to visit the scene of the clink. Alice didn't think it was that funny, but she laughed anyway, so Charlie wouldn't feel bad. As a rule, she didn't like boys very much, but she had to admit Charlie was actually pretty nice. As they headed down the hall on the way to her room, Charlie tilted his head back and started sniffing the air again. Did your mom by any chance make another pie? He asked. This time, the offending odor was not the result of a pie gone wrong. Alice had forgotten to throw away the clam chowder she'd put down for lardo that morning. Be right back, she told Charlie. When Alice returned after disposing of the chowder, Charlie was in her room examining the windowsill. The thumps you heard were probably made by Lardo trying to get up on the windowsill. The hiss, well, that's a no-brainer, since Lardo hisses at pretty much anything that moves, Charlie said. But that clink has me stumped. You're sure that he wasn't wearing a collar? Positive, said Alice. She bent down to scratch a mosquito bite on her ankle, and when she did, something caught her eye. She began crawling on her hands and knees towards the window. What are you doing? Asked Charlie. I see something shiny, said Alice. Under the radiator. Charlie crouched down beside Alice as she reached under the radiator and ran her hand along the floorboards until her fingers found what they were looking for. She had thought maybe it was a broken shoe buckle or a bottle cap that had rolled under the radiator somehow. But when she pulled it out, she was surprised to discover that the shiny metal object that had caught her eye was an earring. Is it yours? Asked Charlie. Alice shook her head. She wasn't allowed to wear earrings yet. Is it your mom's? Alice shook her head again. Her mother wore earrings sometimes when she got dressed up. She even owned a pair of gold hoops that looked a lot like this one Alice had just found, except that her mother's earrings were clip-ons. This earring was the kind of hoop you have to have pierced ears to be able to wear. Maybe some lady who lived in the house before your family moved in dropped the earring on the floor a long time ago, and you just didn't find it until now, said Charlie. Look at my hands, Alice said. What about it? There is no dust on it at all. I vacuum under the radiator every time I clean my room, so I would have found it by now. Then how do you think it got there? Asked Charlie. That's when Alice realized what it was she was holding in her hand. This must be the clink, she cried. I thought you said you heard it in the middle of the night, said Charlie. I did. other than Santa Claus, who comes to visit people in the middle of the night? Alice's heart began to race. Maybe it wasn't a visitor, she said excitedly. Maybe it was a catnapper.
A what?
A catnapper. She must have crawled up the tree and opened the window from the outside. Then she grabbed Lardo, and on the way out, she dropped her earring.
Clink.
You think it was a woman? Asked Charlie.
How else do you explain the earring?
Pirates wear earrings, said Charlie defensively.
Alice gave him a look. Okay, fine, he said. It probably wasn't a pirate.
But who in their right mind would sneak into somebody's house in the middle of the night to steal a grumpy old cat?
I don't know, Alice said. But Sky King and Penny always say you should trust your hunches. And I have a hunch that somebody crawled in my window last night and took Lardo, and that whoever it was wearing this earring. And you know what else? I bet it's the same person who broke into the pie shop.
But why? Asked Charlie.
I don't know, said Alice, but I'm sure if we put our heads together, we can figure it out.
A car door slammed outside, and a minute later, Alice heard her father calling.
Alice, come down here, would you, please? It's important.
I better go and see what he wants, she said. Come on.
Charlie followed Alice down the stairs and into the living room where Mr. and Mrs. Anderson were waiting.
Hello, Charlie, said Alice's father.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. Mrs. Anderson, said Charlie politely.
I'm glad you're both here. I understand you two were the ones who discovered the break-in at the pie shop, said Mr. Anderson.
Yes, sir, said Charlie. Alice was surprised. How did you know that? She asked her father.
Chief Decker called and told us to meet him down at the station.
Oh, Allison's mother said. She wanted to talk to us about the key.
What key? Allison asked.
It was all a big mix-up, her father explained. The lock on the pie shop didn't appear to have been tampered with, so the police were convinced that whoever broke in used a key to open the door.
Until I explained to them why that was impossible, said Alice's mother. There was only one copy of the key, and Polly was wearing it on a chain around her neck when she was buried.
No, she wasn't, Alice said, suddenly realizing what it was that had seemed wrong about Polly when she looked at her at the funeral. She hadn't been wearing the chain with the key on it.
I saw it with my own two eyes, Alice, her mother said.
You couldn't have seen the key, said Alice. It wasn't there.
Don't sass your mother, Alice's father warned.
I'm not sassing, Alice told him. I know for a fact that Aunt Polly wasn't wearing that key around her neck when she was buried.
And I know for a fact that she was, her mother insisted. The pie shop was locked when Mr. Ogden went to pick up Lardo. He assumed someone had a key, so he locked the door from the inside and pulled it closed when he left, or so he says.
The break-in happened sometime between then and when you two arrived, said Alice's father.
So the obvious explanation is that Mr. Ogden didn't lock the door properly, her mother finished.
But that still doesn't explain why Aunt Polly wasn't wearing the...
Alice's father gave Allison a stern look, so she let the matter drop.
I suppose you know your aunt's blueberry medals were stolen, Alice's father said. The police are dusting the place for fingerprints right now. Before Alice could even open her mouth to explain that she and Charlie had brought the medals home with them, her mother took off on one of her rants.
If you ask me, it's all Mayor Needleman's fault, she said. He's been so busy campaigning for re-election, he hasn't been doing the job he was elected to do in the first place. He ought to be beefing up the police force to protect us from crimes like this. Instead, he's been kissing babies and shaking hands and posing for every photographer that pushy wife of his can manage to shove him in front of.
The medals weren't stolen, Mom, Alice said. when her mother finally paused to take a breath. They're in a box, inside, in the basket of my bike. It was my idea, Charlie explained. I thought it would be safer than leaving them in the shop. I guess we should have told Chief Decker. The police recovered a baseball bat that they think the burglar might have used during the crime, said Mr. Anderson. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Charlie? Charlie turned a shade of red. Alice had never seen a person turn before. It's mine, he admitted sheepishly. I must have left it behind by accident. What a colossal waste of time this day has turned out to be, Alice's mother said, collapsing in a chair. Bring me some aspirin, George. I feel another headache coming on. Allison's father went off to get the aspirin, and her mother closed her eyes and began rubbing the bridge of her nose. Maybe I ought to get going, Charlie said. Now? Asked Alice. Well, I promised Mrs. Gerke I'd pick up a few things for her at the store this afternoon. I've got the list right here. He patted his back pocket. She told me to get there by 5. She gets really frosted if I show up late. You can leave now, Alice told Charlie. You have to help me figure... You can't leave now, Alice told Charlie. You have to help me figure out who kidnapped Lardo. Alice's mother opened one eye. Did you just say what I think you said? Alice swallowed hard. I know you're probably going to think I just imagined this, Mom, but I'm absolutely positive that somebody crawled in my window in the middle of the night last night and stole Lardo. And whoever it was dropped this. Alice held up the earring. George, cried Mrs. Anderson. What's taking you so long? I need this aspirin right now. And one more thing, Alice said. I have a hunch it's the same person who broke into the pie shop. Enough, barked Alice's mother. If I hear one more word about keys or cats or cockamamie ideas about people climbing through windows wearing gold earrings, I promise you my head is going to jump right off my neck and fly around this room like a bald eagle. Alice's father arrived with the aspirin and shooed Alice and Charlie out of the room. Charlie seemed relieved. I'd better get going, I told Alice again. Thanks for lunch, and good luck finding Lardo. What do you mean, good luck? Alice asked. I thought you were going to help me. Charlie began shifting his weight from one foot to another. I'm awfully busy, he said, looking down at his shoes. And like I said, Miss Gerke is waiting. Did anyone ever tell you that you're a terrible liar, Charlie Erdling? I'm not lying, he said. I really do have a delivery to make. I'll show you the shopping list if you don't believe me. Don't bother. I get the message, Alice said. You don't think Lardo's been catnapped, do you? Charlie looked down at the ground. Probably not, he said softly. Fine. Then I don't want your help anyway, Alice told him. The last thing I need is somebody else who thinks my imagination is too active. Aw, don't be sore, Alice, said Charlie. Don't tell me how to be, Alice snapped. I'm fine just the way I am, which is more than I can say for you. What's that supposed to mean? Asked Charlie. Figure it out for yourself, said Alice. Oh, I forgot. Your brain doesn't work right. Maybe you better ask your little girlfriend Nora to help you figure it out. Charlie frowned and threw one leg over his crossbar of his bike. Before he left, he looked at Alice straight in the eye. I may not be the smartest guy in the world, he told her, but I'll tell you one thing I know. Your Aunt Polly never would have talked to a person the way you just talked to me. And she wouldn't have thought very highly of somebody who did, either. Without another word, he pushed off, rolled down the driveway, and rode away. The end of chapter 6.